This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. He's also one of the most knowledgeable scientists on the controversial debate over climate change. And Dr. Ball, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Greg.
Well, one of the things we're hearing a lot about here in Washington is the issue of climate change, and the Obama administration is committed to making policy changes, putting in a cap-and-trade system, which he's already mentioned. He mentioned it, in fact, in his speech to Congress and the nation last week. What do we need to know about this? He was pretty vague about it in the speech, so when we talk about a cap-and-trade system, what are we really hearing about?
Well, of course, it's going to start off with the obvious comment that all these politicians are saying they're going to stop climate change, and I know they've got big egos, but they can't do that. But the issue about the cap and trade is another example of what I call moving the goalposts. They did this with the general issue where it went from global warming and then it went to climate change, and now you're seeing them use climate chaos, climate catastrophe. They keep changing as the evidence shows that they're wrong. They keep upping the ante. Now, they've done that with this whole cap and trade issue. It, of course, is the new term for the old idea of carbon credits was part of the Kyoto Agreement, the original Kyoto Agreement, and I'll go into how that evolved. It then went from carbon credits to carbon tax, and, of course, that raised all sorts of ire that the politicians didn't like. So they said, well, we got to change the name. So they came up with this cap and trade, which makes it sound like it's trade is business-like and good for the economy and so on. But the blunt fact is it's just another darn tax on carbon, which is completely unnecessary because carbon, and notice, by the way, that's another shift. When they're talking carbon, they're really talking CO2. It's not an issue. It's not a problem. And so things haven't changed other than in the changing terminology to keep people totally confused. And what they're doing is the old sleight of hand, like a politician, oh, look at my wiggling right hand, while they're picking your pocket with their left hand. And that's what's happening here.
Dr. Ball, in terms of a cap-and-trade system, it's usually mentioned in reference to industry, and of course, a big business, not exactly the most popular entity right now, so people who don't study the issue closely may say, well, it's good that the environment will be a little cleaner, and if big business has to pay the piper a little bit, that's okay with me too, but what a lot of folks are learning here, it seems, is that the cost that will be forced upon the manufacturers will be passed along to the consumer.
Yeah, and certainly you and I would agree that the industry and businesses have done some things wrong. I mean, some of the egregious behavior in the stock market. And, of course, that unfortunately gives people a vehicle by which they can bring in other things and say, well, look, these guys don't trust them. And of course, this is the way that things usually work in our society, unfortunately, that a few people misbehave, they introduce laws that then penalize everybody instead of just dealing with those one or two that are causing the problem. And so we've got that situation here again. But to go back, and by the way, the other thing is, and you mentioned the word in your question, they keep trying to present it as an anti-pollution, cleaning up the air. Well, yeah, we need to do those things. But CO2 and climate change and global warming are not about pollution at all. And yet that's, of course, what they want to try and string it to. And one of the problems, Greg, is, and we've seen this here in Canada, while they spent $6.8 billion over 5 years on supposedly stopping climate change, they didn't even meet their own targets on pollution control. So it's this... again, this distraction, the use of terminology that directs focus away from the real issue. And just to look at the carbon or the cap and trade issue, this started out in the Kyoto, when they were trying to get the Kyoto Accord pushed through. One of the things they tried to do was get the United States government on board. And the Europeans essentially said to the U.S. government, "Okay, what would you do? What would we have to provide you to get you to agree to this?" And the U.S. government came back and said, "Look, give us some credits for the good things we're doing, for the forests that we're planting, that's taking CO2 out of the atmosphere." And so that's where the idea of carbon credits arose. The Europeans came back and said, well, we can't do that because we don't know how much CO2 the forests take up. And so, of course, they were exposed in that, carbon's a problem or CO2's a problem, but we really don't know anything about it, which, of course, is part of the overall problem of this. That carbon credits idea got picked up by Al Gore in particular and Ken Lay, the president of Enron, and Mr. Brown, Lord Brown, actually, of British Petroleum. And now, the three of them, they met with Clinton in 1998 to set out the strategy for carbon credits. And Enron was a major player in this. They were going to benefit the most from any corporation from that. And, of course, that's where the carbon credits idea took off. And then, of course, people started to realize, oh, no, this is just a carbon tax. And they started calling it that for what it was. And but in the meantime, of course, Gore had made a lot of money off of it through his company, General Investment Management. And by the way, Maurice Strong, who was the architect of the UN program on climate change, he also sits on the board of the Chicago Exchange for Carbon Credits. And then when the reaction to the carbon tax thing came, then they brought it up to date, as they have done now with Obama, with, oh, well, it's cap and trade. But it's still the same thing. It's still it's basically and presented as, we're saving the planet. It's also actually a transfer of wealth, taking money from those nasty, evil, wealthy business people and giving it to the poorer people. Canada, for example, was supposed to pay Russia $2 billion in carbon credits. And so it's that, but it is also a straight out tax on business, and which of course will filter down to the public because it will raise the cost of everything, and business people will simply pass that on. So that's the history of this, and where we are now is no further ahead. It's still completely unnecessary, and it's going to put a burden on the public at a very, very bad time.
Dr. Tim Ball is a former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. On Wednesday's program, we'll bring you the second half of my conversation with him, in which we answer the questions, why is the green crowd targeting carbon dioxide, of all things, in its fight against climate change? And what does Dr. Ball have to say about the green contention that harsher winters actually support the climate change argument because the Earth has to cool itself because it has a fever? We'll talk about that and more with Dr. Ball on Wednesday's edition of the program. This is Dateline Washington.